A final reading from our text tonight. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you to do. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, we got to swear to a pinky swear that what is said here stays here tonight, because I'm going to share a story about my son. I need to see everybody's pinky. All right. Yeah, he would be embarrassed if this got back to him, but, and I'll come to that story here in a minute. I was doing the math back there as I was reading through that, and it's been about 16 years ago, and man, does time fly, but about 16 years ago, we bought an abandoned fruit farm. Hadn't been farmed for years, but my business was growing, and I needed more property with the vision I had with my business. So we sold our one place in Galena and moved out to the farm. It was 32 acres, mostly orchards, and then in the front 2 acres of the property, there were a vineyard. I didn't know it was a vineyard. It just looked like vines to me, you know, two fence rows that were overgrown. Actually, more like, if I think about it, there was like 6 rows of this fence-like looking vine. And the first year that we owned it, I noticed that a lot of the birds liked to be around those grapevines. They were actually Concord grapes. But they were so big and so overgrown that the vines were like from one side to the other, they spanned about 8 feet, and they were about 200 feet long. So I was noticing that the birds were there, and I didn't know, that was before I knew Christ and or had ever read the Bible, but I thought, what are they after? So I went to the vines and I lifted up the branches and the big leaves, and I saw these little pea-size Concord grapes. I'm like, oh, these are grapes. So was able to get a friend who was an arbor come out and look at them, and he confirmed that they were Concord grapes. And he said, but I got to tell you, they're really overgrown. And I said, well, do you think, you know, they're only 8 feet wide. What do I got to do? Just trim them back a little bit? He goes, oh no, you got to really, really prune it. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, no, you've got to prune it to where you can actually see the vine and really start to look at what vine is producing fruit. I said, that sounds like a lot of work. And he goes, well, it is. And I says, I don't have time for that. I got to run my business. And he goes, or you can just leave it and the birds will enjoy it. For shelter, they'll build their bird's nest in there, and the vines will produce just enough fruit that they'll pick at it. And, yeah, that's fine. So we lived there a couple years, and about the third year we were there, I'm out mowing between the vines, and this car pulls along the side of the road, and the gentleman gets out, and he comes up, waves me down. I says, are you the owner here? I says, yes, I am. And he says, you mind if I look at your grapes? And I said, no, that's fine. There's not much grapes there. There's more vine than anything. And he said, well, I can see that, but they look like Concord grapes. I said, oh, you're pretty good. Yeah, they are, in fact. And he goes, would it be all right if I prune these for you and, you know, take some of the fruit? He says, I won't take it all, but, you know, I says, have at it. So him and his daughter came out, and they spent a week pruning these grapevines that we had. And now, granted, I, if you remember, they were about 8 feet from one side to the other, about 200 feet long, right? And we had been working on a job, and so I'd been coming home late and leaving early, so I wasn't really paying attention to the progress. And finally, at the end of the week, I came home, and there was enough daylight that I could see the progress that he had made. And there was like nothing left. All you could see was the vine and the actual wire that was holding up the vine. And I called him up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? He says, well, your vines needed to be pruned. There was so much growing that the actual plant, the actual vine, was confused and didn't know what to feed, and therefore it wasn't feeding anything. So he walked me through the process of pruning and everything, and he calmed me down. I says, well, if they grow fruit, I'll come to trust you. He says, well, I've got bad news. And I'm thinking, oh boy, here it comes, right? I says, what's the bad news? He says, they're not going to bear any fruit this year. I said, they're not. He says, no, we've trimmed them back so far that they're going to take a season to really establish a new vine that bears. I'm like, oh, okay. Are you messing with me? He goes, no, trust me. And sure enough, that year they didn't produce anything. But they started to produce some shoots, I should say. And the next year, we had been there 4 years, and the next year, that fourth year, they produced like the pictures you see on Welch's grape juice, you know, those big things. Yeah, they produced that. And I thought, this guy really knows what he's talking about, right? And so Jesus uses this parable, this story, to talk about what it's like to bear fruit, what it's like to abide in him. The word abide in this passage that I've read to you is shared 11 times. And the and the word to bear fruit is shared seven times. So Jesus is really making a point here about what it means to really be a disciple and to bear fruit and to allow yourself, to humble yourself, to be pruned so that you can bear more fruit, right? Now, how do we put that into today's terms? This is where I need your pinky swear, okay? So part of what I feel as being a father is I'm the vine dresser and my son is the vine. And he tries to bear fruit. And sometimes I have to direct him or correct him, you know, prune a little bit so that he can bear more fruit, right? Perfect example, I was on my way home, but I was going to make a stop, and I called home, and Anthony answered the phone. And I said, is your mom there? I need to talk to her. And he goes, no, she's at the store. And I'm like, oh, okay. See, I was going to call her and have her pick me up because I had to drop my car off at a service garage, right? So I was thinking when he said, well, she's at the store, I said, perfect. I can just call her and she can meet me and it'll all work out. And then he says, Daddy, I'm making pancakes. And I just panicked. He didn't know I panicked, but I panicked. And I says, oh, you are. Immediately I go, throw the idea of calling Connie and meeting her, I'm going straight home, right? So I says, oh, you are. And he says, yeah. He says, there was a bag that looked like flour in the cupboard. Do you think that was pancake mix? And I'm thinking, well, I sure hope it was, you know? And he says, I used an egg too. And I'm thinking, oh, I can just picture the mess. I can just picture the mess, right? And he goes, but it turned out brown. And I'm like, okay. So here's the good part, right? Like, we watch a lot of cooking shows, and anytime I cook, I try to encourage him to be in the kitchen with me. So he's familiar with the kitchen, okay? So I'm not panicked too much. But he is cooking all alone, and that's when things can happen, right? I says, well, I said, I'll see what that flour-like substance is when I get there. My guess is it's probably Bisquick and you're okay. He said, okay, all right, I gotta go, Daddy. I said, all right. I don't know how I didn't get pulled over, but I didn't. I got home safely. I walk into the door, and as I'm walking in, he's got the pan, and he's putting it down into the sink, and there's steam coming off as the water's hitting the pan. And then he pulls it back up and he goes, ooh, it melted it. And I'm like, oh, there was some plastic cup in the sink. That's how hot it was. And so I said, oh, okay, yeah. No fire, no burn, no. And he had pancakes made. He had two beautiful pancakes for him and one that he had peeled off the pan, scrunched up. That was for me. Now, crispy on the outside, doughy on the inside. And so we sat down and we ate. And we had a discussion about the rules of the house. And I started out with, I am so proud that you are able to cook for yourself. But there is one rule that we have to abide by. There's that word. You can only cook when there's an adult in the house. Doesn't have to be in the kitchen, but we have to be in the house. Because what would have happened if something would have caught fire? And he goes, well, the fire extinguisher's right there. And immediately I think, oh my gosh, I could just imagine walking home, walking into the house and seeing that mess, right? Not to mention there was already pancake batter on the stove, on the counter, in the sink. And he says, I'm glad that you could think about the fire extinguisher, but in the moment you may not have been able to. Okay? And that's why we want an adult at home. So let's keep this rule, right? And by the way, what setting did you use? Because that pan, I cook all the time and I've never got that pan that he used that hot. And he goes, well, yeah, I think I went backwards. Was it in the medium setting? He says, no, it was over on the high setting. I said, yeah, that's, you don't want to cook pancakes on high. He says, yeah, it probably didn't help that I laid down on the floor while the pancake was in the pan with Eli, our dog, and I got carried away with petting him, and then I smelled something funny. I says, yes. Here's one of those abiding pruning moments, right? I said, in all the times that you've ever seen me cook, have you ever seen me walk away from the stove? And he says, no, I haven't. I says, you're right, you haven't. He said, that's why. Because this can be a very dangerous thing. And so it's my job to keep you safe. And so this is we call in our house, a teachable moment, right? Or a pruning moment, utilizing God's words. Setting a little pruning so that Anthony can bear fruit. Because he's going to grow up to love to cook, and I want him to love to cook, but I want him to do it safely. I want him to have the best possible experience he can. I want him to make pancakes with Bisquick or pancake mix, not baking powder, right? Or baking soda, right? I say all that to say that Jesus shares this story tonight about abiding in him and humbling ourselves to allow ourselves to be pruned. And pruning sometimes can be a little painful because we may like that branch that's sticking out there and not bearing fruit. But when we abide in him and allow him to prune the things in our lives that don't bear fruit, or even prune the things in our life that are bearing mediocre fruit, his promise is that they'll bear much fruit. And when we bear much fruit, that pleases God. And I think that final verse that I read, I slipped it in. I didn't mention it on the first reading, but I mentioned it on the following three. Remember this, he says. I chose you. You didn't choose me. And I think he paints that picture so vividly clear when he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said, this is my body, broken for you. Take and eat, and abide in me, so that I can abide in you. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he blessed it, and he gave thanks, and he says, this is my blood, blood of the new and everlasting covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. I would like to say it is the very sap that it runs in and through the vine and into us. That as we accept it and drink of it, not only are we forgiven and redeemed, but the pruning can actually take place because we are choosing to abide in Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would humble ourselves to be pruned by You, to be pruned out of love so that we would bear much fruit, fruit that lasts. And as we come to the table tonight, that we would be forgiven and touched afresh by Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. The table is set. The invitation has been extended. Becky, would you like to come up and serve with me tonight? The words, the body of Christ broken for you. And respond in any way you feel appropriate. Amen. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord. Whatever. And then you'll receive a piece of the bread and then simply dip it into the cup and hear the words, the blood of Christ shed for you. And respond however you feel. And then take and eat and be one with Christ as He abides in you and you abide in Him. All are welcome to the table. When you're ready, simply come forward and we will share. May you go from this place abiding in the love of Christ, realizing that there may be a day of pruning for the sake of bearing not just some fruit, not just more fruit, but much fruit. Go in the peace and hope of Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.